The question that was under consideration last week, just to, I understand, I'll tell you, was if a Church of Christ elder refuses to baptize me, will I be lost until I find one who will? Do I need a Campbellite preacher in order to be saved? The idea, of course, the background of that is the contention that we have held to, that you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. And the problem we have with the denominational teaching and how that individuals who are baptized are not baptized scripturally. The question, as it was answered by as Justin mentioned, is that no, that's not so, that the individual who baptizes, that it doesn't matter who it is. And I don't know if y'all discussed this or dealt with it in detail, but the point that I made is our heritage on in the United States is dependent upon the truthfulness of that statement, because otherwise we would have to show a line of succession all the way back into Pentecost with regard to our baptism in order for it to be valid. But having said that, the question that Justin raised is, does there have to be anyone at all? And you could raise a scenario. The what-if scenarios, we'll probably get sick and tired of before this series of studies are over. But what if an individual's on a deserted island and he reads the Word of God and understands that he needs to be immersed in water for the remission of sins? There's no one else there. Can he do that? Can he be immersed? And my answer would be yes. I think that he could. We certainly don't have an example of that happening in the New Testament, because in every instance there was a preacher available to do it. But I think that there is a key here, and that is my salvation is not dependent upon another. And so if there was none available for that purpose, then a man could baptize himself. That would be the view I would hope. Yes, sir.
Just for a touch of context, we were going through baptism through Acts when we were talking last week. We talked about Philip who went down into the water with a eunuch. Then Ananias told Paul to do it, but it doesn't say Ananias baptized him. It said, Paul, arise, immerse. And it talks about Peter, and Peter, it says he commanded that they be baptized, which also kind of takes another thing. But I accept your answer.
Yeah, I think that if we were to try to read too much into the fact that there is not an explicit description given of any specific baptism, that means that someone may have done it themselves, then we may be getting into some problematic areas. You can't prove something by the negative or the lack of information. You can't prove that that's possible. But again, I think there are some overriding principles that are very plainly stated in Scripture that would allow it under those circumstances.
You know, Brad brought that pretty well, I saw last week when he brought up the fact that on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 was baptized, there was no way that the 11 or 12 apostles were going to baptize 3,000 people in that one day by themselves. Somebody else had to be doing some baptizing, not necessarily a preacher, not no elder.
Certainly.
All that. So, yeah. You know, if somebody else is doing some baptizing, like Justin said, if you don't have nobody around, like you said, and you're out there and you only have one course to go.
Well, that's one thing that
you do yourself.
Sure, and that's one thing that's not mentioned here, or that I haven't mentioned that y'all very obviously discussed, is that in that there is this concept of a clergy-laity distinction that is unknown in the Lord's Church. If you look at Scripture, there is no distinction between clergy and laity. We are all saints, and there is an equality even among the apostles, even though they had a position of authority as the ambassadors of Christ. They very clearly indicated that they were just men, that they were given a work to do and a position to hold. But the Apostle Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, was thankful that he had baptized none of the Corinthians because of the squabbling that was ongoing at that time. It doesn't matter who it is. And of course, I took this text as to whether or not it had to be a member of the Church of Christ, the question, which is certainly a part of it. But there is that second part, is do you have to be baptized by someone in, quote, the clergy? Well, there is no such thing as a clergy as found in the New Testament. We're all saints and equal in that regard. And it is often the case, and I've done it, I've had it or seen it done on many occasions, and a few occasions here, is you have someone who's going to be baptized, and I've actually asked the father, would you like to do it? or ask the ones who were considering to be baptized if they would like to do the baptizing of the parents or the father of the children, for example, in that situation. Because it doesn't matter, but it is a precious thing. In as far as it was certainly a precious thing for me to have the opportunity to baptize my four children. So, as far as a clergy laity distinction, there is none in Scripture. So that's another point to be made. Yes, come.
So the Ron Goss made a point towards right at the end of class, right at the end. He made the statement, you get back to Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, in which he said, our what-if scenarios don't change anything about what God says. And we need to be very careful about appealing to things like you're on a deserted island. That's not relevant to Scripture.
Yeah.
Like you said, we don't have an example of that in the Scriptures. That's not relevant. What the relevancy is that there's no requirement put on the one baptized. Yes, we have in every instance, just like there's not a requirement in where we take the Lord's Supper. We have occasions of, two or three different places where the Lord's Supper was taken. Does that mean we only have to select those three? And if so, would it be necessary for us to go to the very place where they were? Obviously, that didn't happen in the first century.
Yeah.
So we have to distinguish between a authorized pattern and a coincidental pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It was a coincidence that someone, and maybe in Justin's examples, perhaps there was no one who actually did an immersion. Perhaps they immersed themselves. But we have to go back to the text to establish that as my point.
Yeah.
Have to care about it because they're going to use the what-if scenario.
Well, that's the point that I would make. Is you're right. And you'll find individuals do this from time to time. Almost always, I found in my experience in talking with individuals, the ones who want to bring up the what-if scenarios are individuals who have an agenda behind them, whether it be a denominationalist or someone in the church. They're wanting to get something that's not in Scripture in there somehow. So that's why those scenarios come up. Now, as individuals who have a responsibility to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, whenever a scenario is raised, we have to defend the truth. And if it necessitates examining the scenario and picking it apart and showing what the issue is behind, and which is what we're doing with regard to this. But you're right, it's dangerous for us, I think, to let me put it this way, when it is done, most often there is an agenda that is behind it, and we need to recognize that's the case.
Portable baptistries where it's just big enough for the individual to be in, and someone lowers them into that. And
yeah.
The baptizer doesn't even get in the water.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone mention that word. But
yeah. And I think the phrase that I've heard used rather than coincidental is incidental. There are certain things that are incidental to the pattern, not part of the pattern, not establishing a specific pattern. We need to be able to recognize, and that would be an example of it. If you had a situation to where you have a portable baptistry, because that would be an expedient thing in a congregational setting. There's no room, for example, in a small church or whatever the case may be. Then what you have is an expedient circumstance, and what you have is the same pattern that is found in God's Word with regard to baptism being accomplished in the case of an individual being immersed in water for the remission of sins. There's no change with regard to that, no matter the circumstances. If he's immersed in water, he's immersed in water. But there have been arguments made that must he be running water? Obviously, in the first century, there were natural reservoirs. But if you have a baptistry built in a building, you still have a reservoir of water that is sufficient for the burial in water for the remission of sins. The pattern's not violated by that. But there are individuals who misunderstand those concepts of authority, and as a result of that, they'll bind where God has not. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful not only of not going beyond the pattern and authorizing things that are not authorized, but we also need to recognize the danger of binding what God has not bound and not be guilty of that either.